Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another installment of the Super Squared Circle podcast. I am your host, good old Super Marcy, and I'm joined by my co-hosts. First, we've got the mean James Orell. I'm probably saying your name wrong, but whatever.
That's close enough.
That's the Aussie way to say it, so I'm going with it.
Go with it.
And also joining us is Mike the Brain Batch.
Hello. What's up, people?
Not much, man.
Master of the Batch Package. It's good to be back.
Jesus.
It's always funny when you're around.
Yep.
Wouldn't be the same without our resident heel.
Somebody's got to give John Cena shit around here. For 2016, no more laying it easy on John Cena. He's really going to get the goods this year.
Oh, wow.
Ooh,
Cena, you better watch out, man. What he's been doing has been giving him the easy way out. Good Lord, this year is going to be merciless.
It's the most wonderful time of the year when Cena gets injured.
See, it's just like old times once again.
That's going good, man. Wrestling is finally exciting again for me. At least on WWE. They've had a lot of boring shit go on in 2015. I'm looking at you, Rusev and Lana.
There's been a lot of ups and downs, and
hey,
it,
you leave Ruru alone.
Your precious Ruru. It was the year that Rusev had to wear shoes, and it just looks wrong to me.
Rusev booties? You're not feeling the Rusev booties?
Not really. Shoesef.
Shoesef? I like that.
I don't know where I saw that, but yeah.
But you notice how even though they had to get Lana back with Rusev on screen, ever since the start of the League of Nations, she hasn't been seen.
Yeah, like you figure she should kind of be the spokesperson for the League of Nations.
Yeah,
She's still in like that nuclear heat backstage where the way she just basically ruined their storyline. I mean, not that it was a good one to begin with.
That wasn't her fault at all. That was TMZ.
Well, I mean, when you post shit onto your Instagram account, that's not really helping matters.
I don't know. It's like, where is that line in 2015? Like,
yeah.
Where do you want kayfabe to be and where do you want reality?
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, honestly, I see both sides of this, but, I mean, neither side is completely blameless, if you ask me. I mean, she should have been smart enough to let the story play out. I mean, she's, especially when she was in line for what they keep saying was like a stable-level push, which would be huge for her. Now, she's lucky if she gets on TV at all.
Yeah.
Well, at least she doesn't have to wear that denim dress anymore.
I kind of like that, but then again, I'm cheesy from the 80s and shit like that, so...
I don't know, her and Ziggler had no chemistry whatsoever.
No.
Oh, I agree with that.
They didn't. The thing is, it's her and Rusev, because, I guess, too, they're actually a couple, they did have chemistry, it worked. And...
Right.
I don't know, I don't think they should have really split them up when they did.
Yeah, they rushed it.
So, what do you guys think of the faction of the League of Nations?
I think it has a lot of potential.
It does. They need a better name, because the League of Nations is a terrible name.
Yeah, I don't particularly like the name, but I like who they've got, and I like the idea behind it. I wouldn't mind it growing a little more.
Who would you want to put in it?
I'm not sure, that's the thing. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I almost would almost make, like, Finley as the mouthpiece. You need that.
back
grizzled
to
person working behind the scenes, almost like the management kind of thing.
Well, if they're not going to use Lana, I mean, someone else like him would be a good idea.
Yeah, because I can see them doing on NXT.
They really need a mouthpiece. So.
Yeah, I could absolutely see them trying to get Finn Balor into the League of Nations and him refusing when he eventually gets called up, which you know is going to happen sooner rather than later this year.
Well, considering that the news that we've heard this week, if anything, he's coming in with the Balor Club.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a way to, I don't know, bring it in.
It would make perfect sense.
If they do debut, they need them just to beat down everyone NWO style. It needs to be physical, it needs to be a big deal. Not just, here's three guys coming in.
It's basically like the Shield.
Yeah. Mm. But, like that Nexus, when the Nexus first showed up and they just destroyed and wrecked everything, that's the way to get the Balor Club over.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because a lot of them, a lot of fans aren't going to know who these guys are. So they've got to make a big impact, because a lot of fans aren't like we are, like hardcore fans. A lot of them are just casual, and they're like, who the hell are these guys?
So
they have to make an immediate impact. And
they need to be cool, they need to be vicious, and they need to kick everybody's ass.
Yeah.
What we're talking about for people that somehow live under a rock is that it's being reported that WWE has signed or is about to sign four megastars. Yeah. The speculation that WWE is actually speculating themselves. So,
considering the actual website is putting up this speculation, in my eyes, that's got to be a done deal, because they wouldn't be doing it otherwise.
No, they absolutely would not. They don't believe in even acknowledging other companies out there most of the time. But what they're signed, reportedly, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura,
yep,
and two members of the Bullet Club as well, another two members, Carl Anderson and
Machine Gun,
Doc Gallows, who WWE fans may remember as Festus.
Or Luke Gallows.
Oh, we'd rather not remember Festus.
I like Festus. I thought he was funny. Look, now, if you really go about it, he was the other Kane as well, too.
My favorite picture of the week is the one that Finn Balor released on his Instagram of him in his Bullet Club shirt holding the door open at the Performance Center, looking at his watch like, I thought they'd be here by now.
Yeah.
Right. And if any one of these signings turns out to be true, that's just incredible for WWE and for wrestling fans, period.
I got a feeling they're all true, because this news came out the day of Wrestle Kingdom, like New Japan's essentially WrestleMania show. Like, all four guys gave their notice.
Yeah.
Right. And like I said, WWE themselves on their website is promoting this, questioning about it. I've never seen them do that before. That's got to tell people just how big of a deal this really is. I mean, this is a true, honest-to-God talent raid. And we haven't had that since the days of the Monday Night War.
The last thing that even comes close to this was when WWE signed the Radicals.
Yeah, that's it.
Of Eddie, Dean, and Perry Saturn, and that guy that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, on their Twitter account, I think, they've put, could the Bullet Club join this elite crew of the 10 biggest signings in WWE history? There's a picture of Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, and Sting.
The way that they're treating it, I absolutely believe it could.
They're all of them, I would say, are in.
To date, I'd argue that AJ Styles is the best wrestler that's never truly wrestled for WWE.
Mm.
They immediately need to bring him to the main roster and bypass NXT.
I think that's the plan from more speculation, which is the right thing to do, in my opinion.
That's what I heard they were planning on doing. They also weren't expecting it to blow up the way it did. That's why they started reporting on it themselves on their website.
They need to play this really cool and let it build and let it build and let it build. And hopefully when they debut, they'll actually get a really good rating out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, the Rumble, especially for AJ, would be the perfect place to debut him. Mm-hmm. I mean, with so many wrestlers right now that are out from injuries standpoint, they need bodies to fill that.
Sorry, I lose my speech quite often. Considering the latest stipulation for the Royal Rumble is that the winner is going to be the champion, they really need to fucking pull this off. And I really want it to succeed because the last 2 years has been such a letdown, been so poorly booked. Fucking go all out, surprise the shit out of us, give us something that will be remembered. It's what they need to do.
And by making it for the title, they pretty much just guaranteed that.
And you know what I'm really happy about? There's no way in hell John Cena's going to be in this Royal Rumble.
Of course you are.
Yes. That's the first thing I thought, like, oh no. But then he got injured. I'm like, yay!
So who do you guys think would be the top contenders for winning? Do you think Reigns is going to
absolutely not
still be the champion, or who in your mind?
The way that they're backwards booking Roman, I can see them thinking, well, if he wins it, he's going to look really strong. But that's the opposite. Like, they cannot afford to fuck up this Rumble. They fucked up the last two.
Yeah, I think he needs to lose, and that it needs to be his story about getting it back at WrestleMania to really get the fans excited and interested. It has to be like something really big that's like going to tear him down that he loses.
I think I know exactly what that's going to be that causes him to lose, and his name is Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah.
Which I like.
To be a surprise entrant and win the whole damn thing.
I like that it's Reigns versus, like, Vince and the Authority, because he needs that. But as Mike said, he needs to not talk. He's got to either have someone to do it for him or just not do it.
Well, ever since the TLC pay-per-view, honestly, I think they've been booking him solid. The way they should have been all along.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it's phenomenal to say just the kind of journey he's had in 2015, from getting booed out of the building to being, saying them cheering him with praise in the same freaking building.
They didn't this last Monday.
Not this last Monday, but that wasn't the same building.
Hmm. Well, you know where he lost them this last Monday was when he called Vince McMahon a jerk. He should have called him an ass. Should have called him anything. You're a jerk. What are you, 8 years old?
Yeah. Son of a bitch, man. I mean,
yeah, he could have called anything. Like, he needs to have that edge to them.
Yes. If he's going to talk at all, or just have him do what he did to Triple H, just lose his shit.
Mm. Yeah.
He needs to Superman punch everybody. Just say, fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who do we think, like, what's our predictions for who is going to possibly take the title?
Well, first thing they need to do with this Rumble, they need to make it abundantly clear to everyone, Daniel Bryan is not in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. That's number one.
Underline, exclamation point.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the fans to hijack the show the way they have the past 2 years.
Yeah, because the second that number 30 hits and it's like Santino.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple of possible picks, because, I mean, this is the first Rumble in a while where it just doesn't seem predetermined.
Is Brock in the Rumble yet?
He's supposed to be announcing that he's entering it on Monday, tomorrow. Okay. So, if he enters, that automatically makes him one of the big favorites, unless a storyline develops that I'm really hoping does, where Kevin Owens costs him it. Because those two could have incredible matches.
Yeah, because we got to start looking towards Mania. How are they going to book it?
Right. Now, here's who I think it's going to be one of these two people that's going to win the title. It's either going to be Triple H or it's going to be Bray Wyatt. The way they are booking Bray Wyatt right now is the best he's been booked since they debuted. And, they're just leveling everyone. And he's got those three giant swamp monsters that he calls a family backing him up. I think that pretty much makes him one of the odds-on favorites.
But I don't see him headlining WrestleMania.
Might not hold the title that long. It's quite possible that he could lose it at Fastlane. But for pure shock value, seeing Bray Wyatt win the title, that would be huge.
I think main event of WrestleMania is going to be Triple H versus Storm Durant, the way they're looking at it right now.
I'm not sure it's going to be for the title or not, but I guarantee that match is happening.
I have no problem with that match happening, because I think it's going to be what really needs to happen.
Yeah, storyline-wise, it's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that they would pull off something special. I have
faith. Triple H, he could have a 5-star match with a mop.
Yeah.
So hopefully we do get Brock versus Owens.
Yeah, I mean, because I could totally see that with Owens. I'd see he's probably going to lose against Dean Ambrose when he faces him again. Mm-hmm. At the Rumble, which would be the right move, and have him just go nuts in the Rumble itself, and have him costing Lesnar, that would just lead to a super feud.
Well,
and even if Owens was that, let's say that does take place, Owens versus Lesnar at WrestleMania, Owens doesn't even need to win that match at WrestleMania to get the rub.
Yeah, as long as shows that he can hang with Lesnar, then it benefits both guys.
Well, this is the match that I've been saying should happen since pretty much Owens came on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying it needs to be Owens versus Lesnar at some point. So I'm really hoping this is the direction they go for him, because they really need to get that.
The way they're booking Lesnar, I mean, odds are he's going to win if they do get into a feud. But, like I said, I mean, just being in the ring with him and proving you can hang, it did wonders for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And it could do the exact same thing for Kevin Owens.
Mm.
I mean, people are going to take him a lot more seriously if you go, this guy went toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar, didn't get completely mutilated.
Mm.
I can see. Where do you throw AJ then?
AJ, that's a tough call. I mean, I see him in the match, the Rumble match. I don't see him winning it, but he's going to have a very strong showing. And I don't know, I could see him going up against a member of the league, like possibly Alberto Del Rio.
I would almost go give him, like, if we build WrestleMania round rematches, like Owens versus Brock. Triple H versus Reigns. Why not AJ versus Jericho?
That could be phenomenal. But I actually have a different idea for Jericho. And I think you might like this. I think Jericho's going to turn heel here soon.
Jericho already turned heel.
Not on TV. Well,
when he walked away from Reigns and Ambrose,
right,
the pay-per-view.
Right, but people have seemed to have forgotten it after when he showed up on Monday. That's where I was going with it. He's going to be going after Ambrose for the title, and I guarantee any match those two have together, it's going to be a potential match of the year candidate.
I'd agree.
Right, because those two guys are just two of the best workers ever. And I just really cannot wait to see what they will do together.
That's a strong possibility.
What about you, Marcy?
For what?
Winning the Rumble.
That's a tough one. Because I'm not entirely sure yet. I predict we will see a lot of, well, not a lot, but we'll have surprise entrances. It really needs to be booked well, but I'm not 100% sure on who I can see winning. I don't think it's going to be Reigns, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
They can almost change the way that the Royal Rumble match flows, because if you look on paper, it's becoming very clicky. Like, there's 3 to 4 main clicks now in the WWE.
Mm.
So now with the biggest prize, like, you can almost see, like, a lot of teamwork between the League, the New Day, the Wyatts, the...
Social Outcasts.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Heath Slater for champ. What am I thinking?
Can I interrupt real quick? Once I saw the Social Outcasts actually become a thing, that just made me smile. It's the modern-day equivalent of the Job Squad.
I
think they screwed up the membership. I think it should have been Axel, Slater, Fandango, and Sandow.
Yeah, we need Sandow. Like, where the fuck is he?
Okay, guaranteed when the Bullet Club shows up, Axel's joined at the Bullet Club.
Yeah. Well, he would be a perfect fit for it. I mean, with his style and his ability, raw abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And since he wouldn't have to be the mouthpiece.
He's a perfect guy to put on a black and white shirt. Just goes to the Social Outcast later.
Yeah. Right.
But
and then you could get Sandow or something like that in the Social Outcast.
Yeah, replace him with Fandango.
Good God, Fandango.
So yeah, like the fingers crossed, this event's gonna be awesome.
More over than him. Sorry,
change his name, shorten his name to Dango, since everyone's names is getting shortened.
Just call him Dang.
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 Now, if we can...
And he starts stealing Ron Simmons' gimmick. He's the PG Ron Simmons.
Dang. Dang.
If,
oh, wow.
If I can sidetrack this for a second, on WWE 2K16... when my niece was here and she wanted me to make a character based on Bede.
Oh,
so
God.
We made it the most ridiculous looking Bede. I mean, the guy's fatter than he is. He's balding. He's got a lot of gray hair. But we put him in like this tight outfit. We put a jester's hat on him. He's in like bright pink and blue like stripes. And his entrance, his song, we put the Dude Love theme, and the motion for his entrance is Fandango. And then when he actually wrestles, he's got a big fluffy tail.
Have you shown that to Bede yet?
He was pissed. It is the funniest thing, like, oh my God.
Now this just in, your creative character of Bede has just been signed by TNA, so there you go.
But not only that, when last week when my niece was here and Raw was on and the New Day are coming out, and she goes, look, Marcy, they stole Bede's wrestling colours because he's got the bright pink and blue.
Oh, that is just too good.
I'm going to need to put a link or something to pictures of it.
You absolutely...
I gotta make him downloadable. You guys can see it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can.
And his character's a complete coward, so he sits there going, no, don't hit me.
Yeah, okay, I think you nailed it.
Yep, I'm the best friend a person can have.
Wow. Okay, well, on that note, let's talk about possible surprise. surprise entrance to the Rumble itself. I think we all agree AJ Styles is going to be one of them, and it would be phenomenal, because, well, he is a phenomenal one.
Yeah.
Who else do you guys see as possible surprise entrants that would
Do we think they're going to have, like, an NXT entrant this year?
I think we might get a couple of them, honestly.
I could see Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
I could tell them. And Baron Corbin, for that matter.
Mr. Excitement.
Yeah, well, he's big, mean, and hits like a Mack truck, man. It's perfect for the Rumble.
If Sami Zayn is a surprise entrance, you'll hear me from Australia.
If Sami Zayn is a surprise entrance, he needs to come out when Kevin Owens is in the ring.
Oh, yes.
And then just have that hockey fight for like a minute.
Yeah.
Of them going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to happen. I got one which I think might actually be plausible and would blow fucking minds. Kurt Angle.
No, he's still under contract for TNA for now.
Yeah, for now, but I mean, will it be up by the time the Rumble happens?
No, because right now on I just watched the relaunch of TNA on Pop today, and they're doing a farewell tour storyline with him. So that'll cover his last winding out of TNA.
Well,
that would be cool if he was, but yeah. Don't see it happening.
Yeah, I could see
Angle at Mania this year in some role. Like, as he should be the manager for Gable and what's his name in NXT.
Yes.
That would be perfect. It really would.
They've actually got a name now. They're called American Alpha.
Fits them, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not bad. They are two really awesome guys to watch.
Another surprise entrant that I think is very possible is Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I can see them putting Joe in.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see that many surprise entrants with the amount of like people on the roster now.
Yeah.
There are the injuries as well.
Yeah, and a lot of their best guys are injured right now, too. I mean, I know you don't like him, but Cena, man. I mean, for better or worse, that dude, he brings in money. Randy Orton, Cesaro. I mean, that's just a ton of injuries going on.
Mm-hmm. But Tyson Kidd.
That was just nasty. Who knows if he'll even wrestle again.
Yeah, I would debut Nakamura in the Rumble, too.
I can see that. I mean, he's the king of...
King
go
of
ahead.
Strong Style.
Yeah, and, King of Strong Style.
I would plant the seeds of him versus Bryan at Mania. That needs to happen. That is your dream match. That will sell tickets.
Him versus who?
Daniel Bryan versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania.
If Daniel Bryan ever gets medically cleared. If not, Hideo Itami.
That would be a big thing, too, because you'll have New Japan versus Noah.
Yeah.
Itami is ready to come back, so I could see him as an entrant, possibly.
I could, too.
For that, as if they were going to do a feud that way.
I would almost do, like, a mini gauntlet on the pre-show, so... Whoever wins the gauntlet gets the spot in the Rumble.
Mm.
Yeah, like they did before with Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how Bo Dallas made his main roster debut first time.
And I struggled to remember that it was him. My memory just doesn't exist anymore.
He was very, very boring and vanilla at the time.
He's still very boring and vanilla.
But he's got a little smarm about him now, too, so... he at least is a little bit more memorable.
He's the equivalent of what Bade would be.
I say just change the gimmick and put him with the Wyatts already.
That could work.
Yeah.
If he can grow a beard.
I don't know, he looked like a... you know, a serial killer when he had a little moustache thing going on.
The goatee?
Yeah.
I don't think he looked so much like a serial killer, more like a pedophile.
But... Yeah, I didn't want to go there, but
yeah. I mean, for a reason.
Yeah.
What can I say? Batch is bringing it out of me. Hey,
don't blame me. I'm a broadcast journalist, damn it. Oh, wait. Let me give you the monsoon. Will you stop?
So, oh, sorry, I was interrupting you, Mike.
I was going to talk a little bit more about how awesome it is and mind-blowing that they actually are going to sign Shinsuke Nakamura, and he is going to get over as fuck, because he's got way too much charisma. Have you guys seen much of Nakamura's stuff?
Yes, I have. I'm a big fan of Japanese wrestling, New Japan, Noah. I love that stuff.
You guys need to watch the Wrestle Kingdom show.
He can kick your fucking head off, man.
Him and AJ have definitely the match of the year for the IC title at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I really need to watch that.
And it's funny how, like, AJ immediately got kicked out of Bullet Club the next day.
Yeah.
Again, I think that we're starting off the year with this potential raid of talent. That just makes me think just how much higher this year is going to get.
I really hope that they don't drop the ball. That's the one thing I'm really worried about. And I really think that Triple H needs more power on the main roster as far as creative goes.
Vince needs to go away and stop wearing muscle shirts. It's just creepy.
Like I tweeted, his arms look like Tommy Wiseau's face.
Gross, but it's definitely, I see it.
I'm going to Photoshop it so you can see it.
Tearing me apart.
Seriously, on like one of the main news websites in Australia, they actually had a story about Vince McMahon and his muscles.
Really?
Yes.
Slow news day?
Yeah, it usually is.
I must admit, part of me kind of wants one of those Vince mugshot t-shirts that they're selling on the Shop Zone.
I would so wear that, too. Oh, best mugshot.
Oh, man. I'm going to see if I can get one when they come to town next month, because next month I get two viewings of WWE I'm going to see. February, NXT's finally coming to Indianapolis. And I'm so excited for that. My whole goal, I'm going to get a hug from Bailey, damn it.
Yeah, and show her my bunny, Bailey. My Bailey bunny.
I will.
He's going to get a hug, then immediately get escorted out of the building.
Hey, well, at least I got my hug.
Now, why you were wearing pants at the time, that's a whole other argument.
Well... I like to keep people
purely
on their
speculation.
Toes. I like to keep people on their toes. As it were. But yeah, and then also at the end of the month we've got SmackDown coming. And if I can't get one of those mugshot shirts at NXT, I damn sure can at SmackDown.
I got a feeling that Mauro Ranallo is not going to last long as commentator on SmackDown.
Yeah, so what do you... I didn't see it because I wasn't home, but what did you guys think of... is it the first SmackDown on USA?
Yeah.
I thought it was... It wasn't really anything that mind-blowingly special, but it wasn't bad by any means.
It's just the Vince yelling in your ear, the way that they force the commentators to be like...
Yeah.
Lawler made a comment about Becky Lynch, how she's a rookie, and Mauro kind of corrected him, saying, I've been calling her matches since she was 18, and Lawler said, well, none of that matters. Shit like that.
Right. Yeah.
Like, when Mauro's trying to sell this as a real sport, and he gets undermined by his fellow commentators.
Yeah, he's more a traditional play-by-play kind of guy.
And that's what they need.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... so many times I see such great matches on Raw or SmackDown that just gets, the announcers just ruin it. Because they'll talk about anything else but whatever's going on in the fucking match.
Remember back in the day when JBL used to be awesome and he used to talk about world class and all that kind of shit?
Yep. Feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would seriously overhaul the announce teams. It's where you really miss JR because,
yeah.
You know, he was one of the best at what he did.
Arguably the best.
He actually paid attention to what's happening and called the fucking match.
Yeah, just call the fucking match. That's one thing I like about the commentary in NXT. They call the fucking match.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't need to talk about anything else but what's going on in the match.
Mm-hmm. Because they only have an hour. They don't have 3 hours to film.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem as well, is they need the 2 hours to keep it tight, steady, focused.
I mean, on paper, the 3 hours is a good thing, just simply because it's more time to show people, other people, wrestlers. But
they need to, in reality, to do that,
they just need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And trying to get them to do that is like pulling teeth.
I say turn the U.S. title into the Cruiserweight Championship, since now they got to pull an audible and have Del Rio feud with Kalisto. And always open up Raw with a Cruiserweight Championship match like they used to do on Nitro back in the day.
I can see that.
You need to get the audience in straight away. You need to build up the excitement. You can't always start Raw with a 20-minute boring-ass promo.
Right. I will say lately Raw has been getting a lot better at that over the past few weeks.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that's a trend that will continue. Because, I mean, they've been doing some stupid promo stuff. But, I mean, if it ends up with, like, say, Vince getting arrested, that's a memorable moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm okay with it in certain circumstances like that. Mm. But they almost always have been, the past few weeks, been starting off with a great fucking match.
Mm-hmm. And it needs to keep being like that.
Ambrose and Kevin Owens.
The other thing I would do, Damian Sandow, Director of Authority.
Director of Authority?
Damian Sandow. They need a new one. They haven't replaced Kane yet.
Director of Operations, you mean?
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
I mean, whatever the fucking title was. Why the fuck not? He's a good talker.
He absolutely
is. Give him a fucking role. Why they're not using him is ridiculous.
Especially and just make him like the counterbalance to Vince. Because he basically answers to the board of directors or the stockholders.
Yeah.
So there's some balance.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
I don't know. Overall, I'm about burned out on the evil corporation. The evil heads leading. That thing. I mean, that was great for a long time, but it's just kind of repetitive.
I don't know. They need to do something. It's...
Hmm. Something has to change.
Yeah, well, this is the time of year for it.
This should be the most exciting part of the year.
Yeah.
To start absolutely. With. So, I mean, we've got this new stipulation for the Rumble. I mean, let's fucking roll with it. To maybe go off course a little bit, aside from current WWE, what else are you guys watching for wrestling?
I've been watching a lot more MMA than wrestling lately.
Fair enough.
Other than WWE, of course. Because, I mean, I watch TNA, and you couldn't fucking pay me to watch it.
The first two episodes were bad. They were bad. They were a solid wrestling show.
I don't like having to dig so deep into my list of channels to just find the fucking channel it's on. For one.
Well, there's a little thing called Internet Wrestling Guy. Anonymous Wrestling Guy. And he can hook you up.
Hey. I watched a little bit of Ring of Honor, and I've watched a lot of the Japanese stuff, just basically going through a lot of the stuff that I missed of that, ever since the announcement started to break about the talent raid.
Okay, so what have you been watching, what have you been liking, what have you been... What's been speaking to you?
Well, honestly, the whole Bullet Club angle thing has been really... I liked it. I loved watching AJ Styles get his ass beat.
Yep.
Because that dude could sell a beating like nobody, other, not named Dolph Ziggler.
I love the whole power play of, like, Kenny Omega is now the leader of the Bullet Club.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty...
Because I watched Wrestle Kingdom, their big WrestleMania show. So at Wrestle Kingdom, he lost the junior title to Kushida. So the next night when he attacked AJ, him and the Young Bucks, basically his little promo he cut saying that he's not a he was forced to be a junior, and he's not going to go back up to Kushida, that he's going to go gun in for Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
So Kenny Omega's a really weird dude, but a really good worker too, and he is the perfect guy to kind of lead what's left of Bullet Club.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about Japanese wrestling organizations is you've got to be able to work. You're not going to get over just by your gimmick. That even people with the most silliest, outlandish gimmicks over there, they've got to be top-flight wrestlers.
Yeah. My only gripe with New Japan right now is there's way too many belts.
Yes.
Because they have a junior tag team championship, a junior championship. They have the NEVER Championship, which is like an openweight championship, the IC title, the World Championship, and now they introduced a six-man championship.
Yeah, I mean, when you put so many titles out there, I mean, it just devalues them.
They do have a lot of factions, so it does make sense to do like a six-man title, and no kind of promotion is really doing a six-man championship, but...
New Day, hello.
Well, that's a tag team, not a six-man championship.
Yeah, well.
There should be a six-man championship. But,
considering how many times WWE puts on six-man tag matches, yeah, I would think so.
It was really cool to see the ROH title be defended on Wrestle Kingdom. Jay Lethal fought Michael Elgin.
Yeah.
It was a decent match.
Jay Lethal is a phenomenal worker as well, too. I keep using that word so much. It's just, AJ Styles is imprinted on my brain right now.
I still say, like, AJ should wrestle The Rock at one point, because then you could build out the great one versus the phenomenal one. Why be simply great when you can be phenomenal?
And you know what? Those two guys could put on a hell of a match, too.
Yep.
I have no doubt that those two could put on a fucking five-star bout. So long as AJ Styles' back problems that they're reporting aren't as bad as what they're thinking.
Yeah. The one other thing I liked about that, the two New Japan shows that they did back-to-back, English commentary by Matt Stryker and Kevin Kelly.
Yeah.
So that really helped open the product open to people who aren't used to seeing New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, because you gotta have some way. The commentators are very important to wrestling because they're basically the voice for the wrestlers in the ring.
It's kind of funny because they also had Yoshitatsu on the commentary with his broken English. So a lot of times, like, Kelly's talking, Matt Stryker's talking, then Matt Stryker goes, "What do you think, Yoshi?" And then Yoshi's like, "Yes! Bullet Club is bad. I don't like them."
Oh, that's just adorable.
Yeah, so TNA, they relaunched on Pop, and it wasn't a bad show. Like, they had the semifinals and finals for their World Championship Tournament, and EC3 is the world champion in TNA again.
I heard they did a double face turn, face heel turn.
Yeah, so basically EC3 won it. Then they did the TV taping, so then the rematch against Matt Hardy, that's going to happen in the next couple weeks. Basically, they flipped, so EC3 turned babyface, and Matt Hardy turned heel with Titus and attacked Jeff.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't watched TNA. Yeah. Last time I watched it, Hulk Hogan was still there.
It's been years since I've watched it. I just had no interest.
They put Beer Money back together, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I heard that James Storm went back for because, well, they offered him a lot more money.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Like, apparently WWE only offered him $100,000 a year, where TNA offered him, like, $250,000 a year, so.
And merchandising rights.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I don't blame him at all.
But at the same time, TNA, they'll do that for James Storm, but they'll show Samoa Joe and AJ Styles the door. I just don't get that company. I don't know.
Mm. Hopefully they can turn things around, because as much as you guys don't like TNA, we kind of need TNA.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I want them to do well. I just don't care for how they're run or how they do their storylines, their writing, anything like that. But the fact is, it's people's jobs.
Yep.
I don't want to see anyone lose their job for something for no fault of their own.
We also saw on the first episode the debut of Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
Yeah.
He's the miracle, Mike Bennett. And he got a really good promo. It actually felt nice. Like it was a beat.
Him and Maria, man, they really just kind of gelled in Ring of Honor, man.
Well, they're married in real life, too, so...
I know that. Yeah.
Lucky bastard.
I'm telling you.
He had a big 2015, too, like, with the Kingdom. Like, he won the New Japan Tag Team Championships with Taven.
There you go. Now, speaking of having big year in 2015, I think we should do some little awards.
I think it's time for some awards.
Uh-huh.
As far as mine go, because I've primarily watched WWE product, that's where my awards are going to be. I know Mike... yours are going to be a bit different, and I'm sure James...
mine will probably be...
similar
WWE
to mine. Yep. I'm just sorry, I'm just watching my bunny Bailey just do laps around the room. So cute. So I've got some awards written down. I'm going to work our way, like, up to the main ones, so...
okay.
One of my sort of... the bottom of the list, I've got, what were they thinking moment of the year?
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
So, James, you can go.
Lana and Rusev, Dolph Ziggler, Summer Rae. That whole debacle.
That gets my vote as well.
I can't think of anything worse than that. I mean, that's just... oh, God, I feel sorry for everyone involved in that.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was that bad. Honestly.
Of course you didn't.
I thought it
was
just dreadful.
I think it went on a little bit too long, but...
yeah,
well, the fact that everyone kept getting hurt in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Man, that's usually like a warning sign, man. That's a bad omen.
It started off, like, fairly decent, and I liked that, I mean, Rusev may have broken his foot or whatever the fuck that injury was, but he was still kept on TV.
But it also kind of worked because he laid a big-ass beating to Ziggler. And it actually made him look vicious.
But then they really dropped the ball with it. Having promos like, Lana is a dead fish, and here's this dead fish. Like, really?
Oh, that was funny. That's what I liked about it. Like, that was the running gag. Like, because he would even chirp Lana on Twitter and stuff like that. Like, even when, like, Rusev was on Up, Up, Down, Down, he's like, said blah, 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 except for Lana. Don't follow Lana.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I just thought that was one of their really just one of their weakest storylines.
We didn't get the wedding though. That I think that was the if we would have got the wedding, then it would have all come together.
Right. It's just I think everyone's glad that shit's gone and WWE will be quick to bury it.
Yeah.
Although I got a runner up for that too.
What's your runner up?
The so-called Divas Revolution.
Yeah.
That I'm with you.
That could have been so good. But forcing them just to be three-man teams, and not even giving Natalya something to do, who could outwork a good majority of those ladies that they featured every week.
The whole thing made no sense. Why didn't they make the focus, everyone coming in, let's just fight for the title.
Right.
It was dead in the water. They didn't change. It was dead in the water the second they didn't change the belt. The fact that we still have that Barbie doll belt, you can't take it all.
Butterfly Barbie doll belt.
It's got to go.
They should have changed that over once Charlotte won it to something a little more, well, normal and not
regal.
So. Yeah, something not so goddamn girly. I mean,
you had a lot of blues.
You want to take the women seriously, you got to be able to take the belt seriously.
Yeah.
You had Medusa volunteering to be part of the angle to get the real belt back, and they didn't do it.
I don't know why they didn't, like, do something with the in-character feud between Paige and Medusa. Like, why the fuck would you not...
That would have been gold.
You know, do something. That would have been amazing.
Instead, they took Paige and had her make fun of Reed Flair.
And blame it on Charlotte.
She got a little bit of heat to it, and Charlotte was okay with it.
I don't mind it either, but it's just the problem what I have with it is it just came out of nowhere.
It was a heel trying to be a heel, which is a big problem WWE doesn't have. They won't let their heels be heels because it's a PG product.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they've been getting a little bit better about that. I mean, like, Charlotte is... She's going full Flair.
Yeah.
They really needed to give her a personality because she's really talented. And teaming her up with her dad is a good move, I think. Even though maybe she didn't want that connection at first, I think it's perfect. He needs to be there for her and he wants to be a part of it.
Flair as the pageant dad works so perfectly.
Exactly. Exactly. You said it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And she's more of a natural heel than a baby face, too.
She's actually showing a personality.
The dirtiest diva in the game.
Yeah, there's a personality now. It's working.
And honestly, Becky Lynch, she's just so goddamn likable. She's like the perfect foil for her right now until Bayley comes up.
My fiance loves Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I love Becky.
I really love Becky as well. She's
so quirky, but she's so goddamn amazing to watch in the ring too. I mean, hell, she was trained by Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean. Anyone that's worked with him knows how to work.
My What Were They Thinking award, we're going to keep that WWE, is the complete and utter bottling of the momentum that Damian Sandow had.
Oh, God,
yeah.
Like, you look at how over he was. He was one of the most over guys on the roster during the
Mid-Down. And it was natural. It was a natural over. Yeah.
And...
One of the silliest gimmicks you could possibly have. And he,
like,
ran with that thing.
Axelmania was awesome for what it was. But then just to totally cut him off at the knees, like, it's... I don't know. It boggles. Like, what the fuck were they thinking? Like, he had so much momentum. They could have done so much with him. They're a company that's so star for people that the fans actually like.
And he could even take that whole gimmick of just parodying other stars, I mean, and run with it. Possibilities are literally endless.
And the fact he's barely been seen now is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. He's been on up, down, down more than he's been on the main roster.
And by the way, that's an entertaining YouTube show.
Yeah.
That is an absolutely one. I just watched the most recent one with Paige, or Vampire, making her debut playing Beavis and Butthead. That was pretty funny.
There you go. So put him in a trio with two other guys, and then give him his own web show called Left Right, Left Right. Survival, Up Down, Up Down. And have him feud with the New Day.
All right. So... what do we got next?
I'll give you one in a minute.
Okay.
Just trying to stop the rabbit from going on the bloody couch all the time.
That's not a comment you hear every day.
Someone's really got to house train Justin Gabriel over your place, Mercy.
Yeah.
Or Mad Braddox, who was in the buddy suit.
Oh,
She thinks
that could be an also that could be another one where they're thinking is letting go of Brad Maddox, man, because he was fucking gold.
All because he said pricks or some shit.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't even in the. I was here in Indianapolis, and I wasn't even in the room when that happened. I didn't even notice it.
My bunny thinks the couch is a toilet. She keeps trying to jump on it. The next one is Feud of the Year.
Oh, there's some good ones for this.
Mike.
Sasha versus Bailey.
Yeah. Yep. That's definitely a top one. That was my top one. Sasha versus Bailey. I mean, they just proved that as far as divas are concerned, they're on a different level than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sasha could, she's just perfect at everything she does. She can either be a babyface or a heel, whatever. And she's just amazing in the ring, tells an incredible story and with however many minutes she gets to work. Bailey has the potential of being the most over babyface diva of all time.
Bailey is the next John Cena.
Easily, but the difference is she's a lot more likable.
And she can actually work.
And she doesn't do springboard stunners that barely even connect.
Or make sense.
Yeah.
Everything in her, all the tools in her tool set makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's just got such an infectious personality, too. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or you're an adult. Everyone loves Bailey. And very few wrestlers, man or woman, can claim that. Especially nowadays.
Mm.
For Feud of the Year, oh, there's been some good ones. Fuck. Damn. I'm thinking back to ones with, like, Owens versus Cena, because they had some killer matches.
First match was good, everything else went downhill.
I thought the second match was pretty good, too, and the third. But I thought the first match was the best, by far.
Mm.
I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to go with NXT as well. Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Yep. But
they
it's
told
funny, though, because...
story.
Except that match, that the latter match, didn't compare to the match before. If the match before it, like, wasn't match of the year, I think that would, a lot of people would be crowing about that latter match, but it kind of got overshadowed by the women's match. But it was a really good feud.
Yeah, I just really liked it because, I mean, those guys, they work so well together. Mm-hmm. And I love how they incorporate the demon gimmick before, when he's finally had enough and is going over and overcoming everything. And the fact that it was in Japan when he won, finally won the belt,
yeah,
that's all the more fitting.
Mm.
That's what I'd have to say, Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
You both pretty much, like, done all my feuds that I had picked, so... I don't know if there's any other one I'd mention that
I actually really
stood
also
out.
I'm going to throw this out as a runner-up for me. I really liked the Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns feud.
It ended with a really good match.
The match was good, except he needed blood.
Mm.
Yeah. It could have used more blood, I agree. But the intensity that they brought out of each other, I mean, that was went a long way to repairing Roman Reigns. And the fact that both of them got victories as it went along and introduced us to this Goliath named Braun Strowman, who, for what he is perfect for what he does. He's big, he's menacing, and you believe he could rip your arms off and beat you to death with him.
I'd give a mention, and mostly just due to the moment with Brock versus Taker, but when I think it was the start of Raw, when they were going at each other and the whole locker room was there trying to split them up.
Yeah,
and that was just so entertaining. That that gets a nod just for that.
I'm gonna kill you. You're gonna have to.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys changed Taker's moveset in 2K16 to make one of his specials the kick in the dick?
Yeah, I gave him the dick kick.
I haven't done that yet. I didn't even think to do that. I'm gonna do that now.
Yep. The dick kick. The year dick of the dick kick. I mean, who saw that coming?
Move of the year, the dick kick.
Vince took it. Yeah, Vince took it on Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that was a pretty decent feud just for one, the shock value. I mean, seeing The Undertaker come back not at WrestleMania, that alone gave it a lot more relevance.
I never need to see them fight again.
I don't think we ever will. I think, honestly, at WrestleMania 32, that's when Undertaker is retiring.
He should put Balor over and pass the torch.
That's an interesting thing that we hadn't gotten into, was who should face the dead man.
Well, it's not going to be Cena anymore.
No, it's not going to be Cena.
Nope.
Or Randy Orton, likely.
I'd say Finn. Finn would be perfect.
Finn would be perfect.
I actually agree with that. I think that would be great.
The demon versus the dead man.
The two greatest entrances of all time coming out one after another.
So what we do is we don't actually have a match. They just walk out because that's going to take half an hour on its own.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they'll put up a poll on the WWE website. And then you'll have the results.
They'll spam for like 5-10 minutes while they get to crunch the numbers.
Yep. And then before the main event of Mania, they'll announce it to the crowd, and then everyone will complain for the next 2 days that it was fixed.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Just like this, ladies.
Of course.
So let's go to oh my god, moment of the year. I'll go, because I thought, and this just sent me nuts, there's two, Seth Rollins cashing in.
Yeah, that's definitely up there.
And Sami Zayn on Raw.
Sami Zayn on Raw.
That were the two things where I screamed like mad.
The fact that Sammy got injured kind of takes away from me for a little bit.
Yeah.
Towards that.
Yeah, because, I mean, he got the feeling during that match that was his big coming out party. I mean, that was his moment.
Also the conspiracy theorist in me saying that's why you don't give Sami Zayn the John Cena rub, because nobody who ever gets the John Cena rub ever, it never works out. Evan Bourne, and anybody that John Cena puts over completely into obscurity.
Kevin Owens.
He didn't get the Cena rub.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Beat him in his very first match
Then he got jobbed out twice. No, I'm talking for guys like babyfaces. When John Cena tries to put a fellow babyface over, they are never heard from again. Like the Zack Ryders, like the Evan Bournes, the
Daniel Bryan.
He had no choice because the crowd got Daniel Bryan.
Doesn't matter. He still did.
And that was more
not a matter of choice. He got the Cena rub.
No, he was leeching off Daniel Bryan's popularity because people did not give a fuck about Cena. He had no choice. Say, oh yeah, Daniel Bryan's great. Look at me. I like Daniel Bryan. You like Daniel Bryan. Like me, it was pathetic. Told you, gloves are off on Cena in 2016. Fuck that.
Well, the guys are basically brothers-in-law, so they kind of have to play nice.
Yeah.
For me, oh my god, moment of the year. Damn, there's been quite a few. But for me, the biggest, like, holy shit, was Undertaker dick-kicking Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Because that's one sentence I never in my life ever thought I would ever say.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my expected that to happen. Anyone that says that they called that is a fucking liar. Period.
I don't think anybody predicted that the dick kick would be a fucking thing.
Right. Or even the Undertaker would come back and not WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
And when Lesnar was in the process of flat out murdering Seth Rollins.
I think my oh my god moment of the year comes from TNA of James Storm pushing Mickie James in front of a tree. Because if a heel can't,
what the thinking kind of award for me.
Because if a heel can't push his baby's mama in front of his opponent, Arch Enemy's baby mom in front of a train, how's a heel supposed to be healing?
Wow. You have a ridiculously high or possibly low standard, depending on how you want to define the term. What makes a heel?
Gotta be a bad guy somehow, right?
Well, you know what? Like it or hate it, everyone, including us, talked about that angle.
It
did its fucking job. So
then it succeeded. Like, they're no longer part of TNA. It did its job.
There you go. Next award were Tag Team of the Year.
New Day. It has to be the New Day. I mean, they got robbed of that award at the Slammies because the Usos.
Yeah, what was up with that? That was bullshit.
The Usos were barely around because one of them was injured. What sense does that make?
It's a popularity contest. They shouldn't even have been an option.
Okay, if that's the case, how did New Day not win that award?
Because the Usos are more popular than them.
Oh,
By the common folk.
I think it's a tie between the New Day and the Young Bucks. Internationally, no one had a bigger 2015 than the Young Bucks did.
Personally, I just think that the New Day, they took what was a lifeless, dead gimmick and turned it into something that I haven't seen since the days of Edge and Christian.
They're the only guys on the roster that don't have their promos written for them, and it shows.
Yeah, because they fucking wing it. Yeah, you think someone in the back's writing that unicorn crap for them?
Yeah, no fucking way.
And the unicorn crap got over to the point where those things are sold out now.
Those unicorn horns sold out the day they had them, like, debuted them. But I guess when you've got Sasha Banks twerking.
Well, yep. that was...
But
that
no,
was,
I,
that was a special moment of the year for... That was in the oh my god moment of the year.
That was awesome.
Like that.
I would definitely go with the New Day as well. They've done a great job of, you know, making their gimmick actually mean something. But who would you say would be tag team, say, in NXT?
Ooh.
Because there's been there's been a lot of teams showcased.
Scott Dawson,
as much as I like
I was going to say, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, the current champs, they have been having a hell of a year. Mm-hmm. And they're an organic tag team. They're a very old school feel, like the Brainbusters.
Yeah, that's what I like about them. They're the guys that should have won the Dusty Classic.
Yeah, they absolutely should have.
As much as I like Enzo and Cass, as much as they're over, I'd say NXT Tag Team of the Year are Gable and Jordan.
Yeah, I think those guys have been the biggest, as far as teams, the biggest almost surprise and standout the current champs.
Well, one of
Blake and Murphy are kind of a bust.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, I think when they added the chick, it just didn't work.
But yeah, it's just those two were just generic. And I also
the Vaudevillains is too goofy a gimmick to work on the main roster.
I like the Vaudevillains, but yeah, I really do like.
They've kind of been forgotten about now.
How well they own their gimmick.
The Vaudevillains need another old timey tag team to feud with.
Yeah, you know, let's see if we can find one of them around somewhere. But yeah, I just like their theatricality. I love their entrance. I think the Vaudevillains, they stand out to me. I mean, regardless of how ridiculous their gimmick is, they own it. Mm-hmm. And you got to give them props for that.
Do you guys think they'll finally bring up Cass and Enzo?
I think so. I think absolutely, because, I mean, they're one of the only teams that, on the mic level, microphone level, can really compete with the New Day.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I think that would be a good foe for the New Day, those guys.
I think it would be fucking hilarious, personally.
There's a lot of potential.
They need a third, though.
Well, I mean, they could bring up Carmella.
Nah, I got a feeling Carmella's going to be in NXT for a while for the women's division because they're rebuilding that.
Yeah, they have to, especially once Bayley.
I think Carmella currently is getting a push in NXT, so.
Yeah, I think she got named number one contender at taping.
Yeah, she did. Man, good for her, man. I mean, she's been improving a lot.
She's improved a lot. She's definitely working hard.
Mm-hmm. Another oh my god, what were they thinking? Keeping Eva Marie employed.
Yeah, can we? Yeah. Definitely.
I gave her credit when I found out how hard she was working to try to get better, but then seeing the results of that training, I'm like,
She's improved, but it's not a lot, and she's just dreadful.
Nowhere near as much as you would think.
Do you think Kendrick said, fuck it, I can't do any more with her?
Honestly, I get the impression, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I don't know, who's worse at this point, her or Cameron?
Cameron, by far. Cameron is the most useless fucking diva on the roster. Although she did get her head kicked in and tapped out by Asuka, so...
Which was pretty awesome.
That was great to see.
But yeah, no...
That bitch is on a different level.
Eva Marie, she's a waste of space. I don't see her actually, like, any passion about what she's doing. And the crowd in NXT lets you fucking know that.
She comes across as the throwback to back... when about 10 years ago, when the females that were coming up were just using it as an avenue to break into something else, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, it doesn't help that like Total Divas just shows how fake she really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that not even Bayley could calm the crowd down when she was on says everything.
Yeah. I think WWE doesn't realize that she's not getting heel heat. She's getting real heat.
She's getting fuck you, go away heat.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's getting X-Pac heat.
I'd almost argue this is bigger than that.
Yeah.
I
don't know. That during its heyday, the X-Pac heat was pretty...
It was pretty full on. Yeah. So we've done tag. Alright,
she had Matt Hardy in Ring of Honor heat.
We'll go to a different one. What about event, like pay-per-view or NXT event or so, you know what I mean, of the year?
Oh god, man. I want to go with WrestleMania just because of the spectacle of it all. But this year, I mean, there were so many good takeovers that I think, yeah, I couldn't in good conscience put it on WrestleMania.
For WWE, I'd say I would agree one of the takeovers.
Mm.
Everything else, I would have to go with Wrestle Kingdom.
I'm going to go with Takeover Respect. That's the one where I believe that was the first one between Sasha Banks and Bayley, where they had that clinic, which was followed by Balor and Owens in the ladder match.
I think that was Brooklyn.
Okay, well, whichever one was the first.
Now I'm questioning myself.
I thought Brooklyn was the second one, because I could have sworn Brooklyn was the one where they had the Iron Man.
No, it wasn't, because it was at the... I think that was at the normal arena.
Okay.
The other one worth talking about was actually Lucha Underground's finale, Ultima Lucha. That was fucking amazing. That's cool. Definitely worth watching.
I wish I had the El Rey Network.
Anonymous wrestling guy, my friend.
There you go.
He's got every episode.
Yeah, I would say, like, as far as, like, WWE, it'd be WrestleMania. But NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, which I'm just looking at now. Yeah, it was Bella Owens, Bayley Banks. Is when they had Tyler Breeze versus...
Jushin Thunder Liger.
I can't say his name, so I don't want to.
That was crazy. That's a... Oh, my God, moment.
Liger is old, man, by this point, but man, can he still go.
He did a great job. It was, you know, it was a good thing to see them, like, bring in someone like that.
And what's even more amazing is Tyler Breeze didn't win.
Yeah.
I mean, but I thought he was going to get the win just because.
But it still did wonders for him, so.
Yeah.
It's just a shame he's rotting away on the main roster.
Liger is a freaking legend. For good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually at that Ring of Honor show I went to this year when they had the New Japan guys on, and he got a good reaction. He needs to wash that wig, though, and that mask.
But I also want to give us a little bit of a love to the TLC pay-per-view, because I did not expect that to be good. It had so little build-up, really. Because it's only like 3 weeks removed from Survivor Series.
Kalisto gets bump of the year.
But that one freaking... Oh, yeah. That was insane. The Salida del Sol, that was easily bump of the year.
Yeah.
But that whole pay-per-view really was fairly solid. It was a lot better than it had any rights to be.
Match of the year.
Oh, now this is a tough one. I've got to go with Bayley versus Sasha Banks. One.
Agreed.
Yep.
I mean, that match was just—it was beautiful. And on that new show, Breaking Ground, they finished the season leading up to that. And discussing that whole match and everything, and you could see just the genuine passion between the two women, what it meant for them. And that was, without a doubt, a 5-star match.
Yeah.
That was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yep, that gets my vote. That, their Iron Man match, because something like that, you know, the two women closing the show with a 30-minute match, and they delivered big time. And, I mean, all my matches seem to just have the chicks. I'd go with Sasha versus Becky at TakeOver.
That was a good one, too. That was a damn good one, honestly, there's a lot of... This is probably the hardest damn category just to nail down, because... Outside of that Sasha Banks Bayley match and what have you, there's been some really damn good matches this year. I know you can't stand Cena, but that United States Open Challenge that he had all year was one of the best things that happened. I loved it.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, Cesaro versus him.
That was really good.
That was pay-per-view for me.
To me, it was Cena buries the roster. No.
He didn't bury... I don't think he buried him at all, but we're never going to agree on that.
Nope.
But also, freaking Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt, Hell in a Cell. That was a damn good match. I thought they were going to kill each other in that. Anything with... Dean Ambrose is automatically going to be good, if you ask me. I know him versus Seth Rollins is always going to have...
Their clashes have been awesome.
Yeah, every single time. They made a freaking lumberjack match, something awesome.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Lumberjack matches traditionally suck. But there's, man, they made the entire roster of lumberjacks look like damn fools. And I loved it.
Mm.
There's just been some damn good ones. Lesnar versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam was really good. Because,
like,
well,
almost anything with Seth Rollins was amazing.
Yeah. Same with Lesnar. I mean, both of them are fucking phenomenal in their own ways.
Mm.
Again, there's that AJ Styles imprinted on my brain. I just can't get rid of it.
I think one of my favorite matches this year was actually Michael Elgin versus Ishii from this year's G1 tournament. Japan has fallen in love with Michael Elgin, and it's like the perfect old school match, like that Doc Gordy, Stan Hansen, just strong style, back and forth, awesome match. I can watch that like all day long.
I can also throw out Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Yep.
They've had some fucking amazing matches.
Absolutely.
Like the one in Japan, that was pure spectacle, and that was pure Balor. I mean, don't get me wrong, Owens was amazing in that too, but I mean, you knew that Balor was the guy.
Yeah.
In that, like, they treated him like a freaking hero coming home from the war, and it was just incredible to see him finally win the strap.
Yeah.
And Owens versus John Cena was great
the
match.
Yeah, that was
the right guy won.
That too, but it was a really just top match.
Yeah, just. Well told, an amazing story.
I really liked actually Pentagon Jr. versus Vampiro from the finale of Lucha Underground this year, because it was like a really good old school, like hardcore match, like ECW style.
Yeah.
And the story building into that with the whole of Pentagon Jr. Really trying to take out Vampiro, but then you found out that Vampiro was really Pentagon Jr.'s master all along. Really good psychology, really good storytelling, and really puts it in an interesting place to see where Lucha Underground picks up when it comes back in a month or two.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like that's the one thing. I mean, we might not have had tons of, I'd say, solid shows throughout the year of 2015, but there have been a lot of phenomenal... Oh, God damn it, I gotta get that word out of my head. Matches.
What is this, Mary AJ? AJ Lee versus AJ Styles. All AJ versus AJ.
Can't get enough AJ.
Apparently. Should we go to our next... we've only got two left, so...
Okay.
Female Wrestler of the Year. And for me, that's hands down, it's Bayley.
Eva Marie, right?
Oh, yeah, Eva Marie, totally. Eva Marie and Cameron, it's a tie.
What does everyone think about Nia Jax?
I think she's potential, but she's still very green.
She's very, very green.
There's definitely potential. She's got a great look about her. But she needs work. But I can see that she is improving as she goes along.
I'm going to have to go with Sasha Banks. Because, I mean, she has had just the most amazing run of five-star matches I have ever seen come from someone from NXT. I mean, she can wrestle with anyone and put on a clinic.
I think we're all kind of overlooking Nikki Bella's most dominant reign as Divas Champion. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah, less said about the Bellas, the better.
Well, to be honest, she has improved.
I will agree. She has improved a lot. A lot more than her sister has.
Yeah.
Her sister just rips off her husband's moves.
Most dominant diva not to defend the title at all the major pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Right.
Which they basically did, so she could be the longest running.
Yeah, just to get that title, that record off of
me. Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason. And I know she's had her injuries, but she seems to have worked through them just fine. So there's no reason why defend it, so...
I do feel bad for her right now with her neck injury. Because they have said that it was caused by her finisher, the rack attack. And she has hit that a lot this year, last year, so... I can imagine it doing some damage to her neck. So, you probably could say goodbye to that move.
I still say the most terrifying four words that Paul Heyman could say for the Divas division this year would be, "My client, Ronda Rousey."
Yeah, that would scare the living piss out of every one of those girls. But that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Never know.
Yeah, actually I do, because she's under a heavy contract from UFC, and UFC will never allow it. Dana White has gone on the record of saying that.
If she loses another fight, then...
Plus, she's also got the movies and all that sort of shit.
Vince will open up the wallet.
Oh, I have no guarantee, no problem saying that Vince could afford to buy out Ronda Rousey. I'm just saying Dana White not going to allow it.
I think the fact, though, that the second that Ronda Rousey showed that she was human and she could be beat, it took a lot of luster off her.
It absolutely did. I mean, it popped that swelled head of hers.
Yeah.
Right. But...
Yeah.
I was going to say, I want to give an honorable mention to the person who I think is going to be the Diva of the Year for 2016. And the only reason why I got to give it to Sasha over her is just the amount of time she's had in it. Asuka.
Yeah.
That chick is a terrifying force of nature. I was saying to Marcy and you last night that fucking... My roommate, I introduced him to her. And he said the perfect thing about her. She looks like she would bite off your dick with her vagina just to make herself laugh.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to come from her this year.
That smile of hers alone sends chills down my spine. I mean, that's the look of a serial killer.
They gotta push her more like that audition type female.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't even need to master the English language because her body language is so damn good.
Yeah. We're gonna see a lot from her this year.
She's like a female Muda.
Yeah. She's very easily a female Muda, except I think in ways she's a lot more deadly.
I'd give her the mist.
Yeah, I bet you would. She'd kick your fucking head off, too. Not just talking about the one above your shoulders.
And...
I think I see big things coming for her this year.
Yeah. Mike, did you give us one? I don't know.
I'd go Bailey. Nobody touched her this year.
Yeah.
Bailey or Banks, you can't go wrong with either.
Well, I would have said Sasha, but they've just done a shithouse job on the main roster. Like, what the fuck?
Yet, at the same time, she's still super over.
Yep, and NXT, the booking was completely different, and she was just phenomenal there.
Yeah.
Gail Kim had a really good year, too, but yeah, it is what it is.
Wasn't she fighting dudes at some point?
Well, that was kind of one thing I thought was kind of interesting about what they did was they opened up the champion tournament to anyone. So, like, it was a giant round robin thing, and she was in one of the brackets.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't think WWE ever really knew how to book her, which is why I think... As much as I'm not a fan of TNA at the moment, they've always done really good by her.
Yeah, she's Knockouts champ right now. And they do have a good little division. Like, Awesome Kong's back in TNA right now, and she's feuding with Gail, and they've always had good matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
They have.
No
denying that.
So should we go to our, Wrestler of the Year?
Okay.
I'm going for Seth Rollins because up until his injury, he had a fucking awesome year. He, you know, almost every match he had was awesome. He made everything awesome. He got the title and he ran with it. They might have given him maybe not the best feuds, but he definitely pulled off some really good matches. He really ran with it, and I think when he's back, there's no way he's going to be a heel.
No, I absolutely agree. I think they were starting to build to him actually having a babyface turn in general, period.
Mm.
But, yeah, I can't honestly pick him because, well, he lost to J&J Security.
Yeah, but we don't remember that. They're not even on anymore.
I obviously remember it. I agree. He has had one hell of a year, but for me, I'm going to have to say Roman Reigns. Simply because I have never seen anyone have the kind of year he had where he started basically in just the bottom of the shit list with the fans. The Rock couldn't get him over. That's how low it was for him. But throughout the year, he's been building, rebuilding, and rebuilding. And through the feud with Bray Wyatt, in fact, he just got better and better and better until finally he just exploded at TLC, and the same crowd that booed him out of the arena is now cheering for him and saying, thank you, Roman.
But it's like a case like it always is with Roman. One step forward, two steps back.
I think right now he took a big leap forward.
After Monday.
Starting with the beatdown. After Monday? Actually, Monday I think was very fucking interesting. Because what it sets up.
But it's just a return to form. It's, I don't know, it's until they will let him be Roman Reigns, let him be the killer, let him be the cool, silent badass, he's not over yet. He's getting there, they want to do it, but it's always that apprehensive. The second that he opens his mouth, like, the crowd's like, just, fuck this guy.
Yeah. I can see your point on that, but, I mean, honestly, just how far he came over the course of a year, I've never seen anything quite like it.
I don't think he's gone very far, but okay, that's just my opinion. Agree to disagree, my friend.
Okay, I'll agree to disagree with you on that one. What about you, Mike?
Probably,
John Cena, obviously.
That'd be the biggest swerve in the world. I think I'm going to have to go to AJ. Give it to AJ Styles.
Yeah, I can see why.
He's had a hell of a year.
He absolutely has.
He's held the New Japan Heavyweight Championship a couple times.
Yeah.
Had some killer fucking matches all over the world in Ring of Honor and New Japan. Right in his own ticket. He led the charge with the Bullet Club and made it a big, major faction. And going into 2016, he's in a really interesting place.
I absolutely cannot disagree with anything you said right there.
Yep.
He's had one hell of a year, honestly, and it makes the potential signing of him to WWE all the more intriguing, because from every report I've read is they're treating it, and you can see it just by how they're talking about it openly, how big of a deal this is. I mean, They didn't even treat Sting like this when Sting signed. And that says a lot. So I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with here in WWE. I think he's going to bypass NXT altogether. Maybe one or two matches to get into the WWE style. But I think more or less, he's as main roster ready as he's ever going to be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so the crowd is going to love him.
What's his WWE slave name going to be?
I think they're going to go with AJ Styles.
You should.
I think it should just be his name, honestly.
I think, honestly, they're going to go with him the same way they did with Samoa Joe. Because, yeah, he's in that level. I totally could see that.
Maybe they'll call him Fang McFrost.
AJ is probably the greatest wrestler that has never truly worked for WWE.
I'm so glad they didn't call Samoa Joe Joey Samoa.
Joey Samoa.
Joey Samoa. It's like he's a Guido now.
he's that Samoan Mafia. From the
Jersey Shore all of a sudden.
That's Samoan Mafia.
Oh, God. I do want to think we've got a few other, I would like to say, runner-ups that I think deserve some special attention. I'm not going to bother with John Cena, even though I do think he deserves to be mentioned. Because, okay. Well, sorry. I just go just shit all over it.
Sorry, my Tourette's cut kicked in right there.
Cesaro has had a great year.
Yeah, I mean,
they need to pull the trigger
on
Cesaro.
They really do.
And
when
if
he
Vince
gets
is
back,
the one that
come on.
Says no, then get rid of it.
Yeah, well, there is no reason for it not to happen when he's back.
That guy's managed to get over just because of how damn good he is.
Time and time again. Like, every time they try and bury him, he rises.
Yeah.
Yep. And the Cesaro section. I mean, that section just keeps growing. And you gotta love that. Now, Dean Ambrose has had an up and down year. Honestly, I mean, he kind of stalemated, but he ended on a high note by beating Owens for the Intercontinental title, which was a hell of a match. You're guaranteed to get at least one more great match out of them at Royal Rumble. Who else? There's been a few. Well, I would even count Sasha Banks as potentially up there, or Bayley, or even though it's, we already did Diva of the Year.
Yeah, but I'd say that awesome, they can be classified as,
I mean, the fact
of the
that they
top.
Headlined a pay-per-view level event,
and it was a 30-minute match that did not stop.
No, it was relentless.
Okay, Rookie of the Year. Who's your guys' Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year.
That's a
now
good
let's make
one.
It a real rookie, not like someone who's just went to the WWE.
Not like Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch. Yeah.
That's a tough call.
That's tough.
They don't have too many true rookies anymore.
Maybe Chad Gable and Jordan?
Possibly.
When you mention rookie, they're the ones I automatically thought of. Because I think there's something special with those guys. I really do.
I could throw out Baron Corbin. I mean, yeah, he's got a presence about him, but he's got very little in the way of mic skills, and I really like seeing his growth. I think
Apollo Crews,
really,
maybe?
Apollo Crews isn't exactly a rookie either.
He isn't a rookie, but
Utah Nation, man.
Yeah, man.
But he's definitely someone who's going to have a big year.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be NXT champion, mark my words.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, once Finn Balor moves up to the roster, I think he's one of the next guys in line. I mean, it's hard to pick an actual true blue rookie. Because, like I said, WWE has totally changed the way it develops and hires anymore. I mean, they've gone to the indies a lot more than they ever used to.
Yeah.
I'll try to remember the Ring of Honor. What's his name? The flamboyant guy in Ring of Honor.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about.
He's had a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name again?
The Associated Press even did an article on this guy. I read that article, in fact. Fuck.
You gotta look this up.
Yeah. Not coming to me. He's like extremely flamboyant, but he's amazing in the ring.
I know him as Ashley Remington in Chikara. Yeah. Dalton Castle. That's
it.
That's my rookie of the year, Dalton Castle.
I can give that to you.
So entertaining. And that gimmick could have been just such a stereotype, but it's not. It's weird, it's over the top, it's everything it needs to be.
Are you sure you don't want to go with ZZ?
Oh, ZZ.
Tough enough joke. God, that season is horrible.
He is making Break Ground more entertaining, though. They need someone like ZZ.
Yeah. He is, but at the same time, man. Wow.
Okay, what's your guys' finisher of the year?
Hmm.
That's a good one. Well, they got rid of the curb stomp. Because that thing was just awesome.
Curb stomp, you can make curb stomp.
He hasn't really been using it this year, though.
The dick kick, even though it's not a finisher.
The dick kick. The dick kick is always a finisher, damn it.
I guess for sheer theatrics, the Red Arrow, because every time he does it, it just looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It really does.
It looks even prettier in person than it does on TV.
It's just something awesome to watch. That's why I really enjoy it. I don't know what else I would...
I particularly, even though it's just a really hot, amped up version of the Flatliner, I really like Baron Corbin's End of Days because, well, it just shows how powerful that guy really is, the fact that he can hit it on someone like the size of Samoa Joe. I mean, it's pretty damn impressive to me.
Yeah.
But, true finisher of the year. I got it. The Kimura Lock from Brock Lesnar. What other move has ever made The Undertaker tap out?
For me, I think by far the most dominant finisher and innovative finisher of the year would have to be Joey Ryan's cock flip. That's move of the year.
Oh, God. Anything to do with dicks is move of the year.
Yeah, dick is the... 2015 was the year of the dick kick. So.
He's the king of donk style. I mean...
I think last year, or, you know, and a bit of 2014 was the year of the dick. I mean, how much did we talk about the python, for God's sake?
Good God, that thing would strangle you.
But it's crazy how he's gotten that fucking move over now. It's a thing now.
It is. It's funny that you'll see people who don't know the first thing about wrestling are sharing that video.
It went viral. It was on ESPN.
Yeah.
Move of the year.
Yeah.
I do want to throw out there, though, the RKO. That RKO he hit on Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty. It really was.
Oh, no. Nobody has turned that move into such a work of art as Randy Orton. I mean, there's a reason why there's like 5,000 GIFs out there of RKO's out of nowhere.
And they dropped the ball with Randy Orton this year. Like, they should have had him just randomly show up on talk shows, on, like, sporting events. He should just, like, show up RKO someone that, like, disappeared.
They should have fucking ran with that. They really should have.
Like, have fucking Jimmy Kimmel and this, like, halfway through the monologue, he just gets...
There's someone I would like to see eat an RKO. It's Jimmy fucking Kimmel.
How hilarious would that be? Just randomly.
Hashtag RK Jimmy Kimmel.
That would be hilarious. And Orton, he's got the showmanship that he'd do it, too.
Yeah.
Apparently his neck isn't as bad as he thought.
I'm looking forward to him coming back because, I mean, say what you will about the Apex Predator, but, man, everything he hits so smoothly.
He's
I would like to see him go to Japan. I think
I think he'd get over huge in Japan.
He just seems to, I don't know, get better, and everything he does now just feels so fluid, so natural. It flows.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's someone who's progressed so much, I think.
Mm-hmm. At times he can still be Blandy Orton, but he needs to be with somebody he can sink his teeth into. Yeah. Like that Seth Rollins.
Yeah,
like Seth Rollins brought out the best of him because he got to play the Predator.
Yeah.
And that's what he does best. He's not good at playing the whiny little bitch roles, which they had him do in 2014.
Yeah. Their feud was entertaining. It was good.
Okay, I got one for you. I got a couple categories that I want to throw out there.
Yeah.
Heel of the year.
John Cena.
Not counting John Cena.
I'd go with Rollins or Owens.
I'm going with Owens. Because he just got that nasty mean streak. That just doesn't give a fuck.
James Storm threw a pregnant woman in front of a train. Kevin Owens.
All right.
Then he showed up on TNA.
And then he showed. Wow. Yeah, because well, I'm sure TNA viewership is so low that people probably didn't even know that happened. But anyway, that's me bagging on TNA. What about Babyface of the Year?
Bailey.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Bailey, or for what it's worth, I think
because everyone from 12-year-old girls to 30-year-old creepers love Bailey.
Yeah. But I think Cesaro really turned things around when they let him, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I'm going to go with Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Just because of the level of consistency that he brings. I mean, even when he gets nasty, people love him for it.
Yeah.
And plus, well, he definitely is a shoe-in for Entrance of the Year.
Oh, yeah, that's Entrance of the Year by far.
Gotta love the Demon.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Are there any more categories, or are we gonna wind it up?
I can't really think of anything else.
I can't really.
Oh, wait. I got one that only one person could possibly win. Celebrity appearance in a wrestling event of the year.
Jon Stewart.
Stephen Amell.
Jon Stewart.
Stephen Amell.
Jon Stewart because he forced John Cena to not win the championship at Ty Ric Flair's record.
He also ate a pretty nasty attitude adjustment. I'll give him that. But, no, Stephen Amell, that match at SummerSlam, I knew he was going to do fine just because of the kind of athlete he is, but he exceeded my expectations.
I would like to see him come back because I think it would be cool to see more.
And like Jon Stewart, you can see just how much he loves wrestling.
Yeah.
And every little bit that he was involved in.
And
the fact that he got to do a match with Neville. And he jumped off the top rope, man. That was pretty damn awesome.
I loved how through the match, Stardust is calling him Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy, did you see that Stardust is still provoking ML and threatened to melt down his slabby unless he gave him $10,000 Canadian? He made a little ransom note with the slammy.
That is fucking awesome. And that is classic Stardust. I say what you will about Cody Rhodes, but man, that dude, he really, really sinks his teeth into his characters.
Yeah.
And actually, the Stardust character is so goddamn out there.
Actually, another Cody, actually, going back to Rookie of the Year for a second, Cody Hall actually has had a really good year in New Japan. He's come a long way.
That's what I hear.
Since when he first went to Japan.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I totally forgot about him, to be honest with you. I thought you were going to say Cody Hawk, and I'm like, hell no, that dude's not a rookie.
No. Cody Hall.
Yeah. Cody Hawk, he's the guy who trained Dean Ambrose.
So we're going to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think that's it, guys. Thanks for joining. Good to be back. We will aim to do a post Royal Rumble show. I say we'll aim, but the next show will be like in 5 years' time, knowing me.
I think Royal Rumble, yeah, there's going to be there definitely will be some shit we need to talk about.
I think we'll have some stuff to discuss. And we'll just do our shout-outs of where people can look us up online. I'm usually looking up risque photos of Seth Rollins. no, really. Of course, we're at supermarcy.com. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. You can follow my Twitter account at twitter.com/supermarcy. You can have some laughs with some other Twitter accounts that Bede and I run. One of them is twitter.com/awkwardpauses1, which is where we take screenshots of film pauses that are hilarious. We also have one called Werner Herzog Reviews, where we pretend to be Werner Herzog and review things as he would, which you can find at twitter.com/WernerHReviews. Batch, what about you?
Find me over on Twitter at Multiverse5. That's Multiverse FIVE. You can also find me over at BingeMedia.net as one of the hosts of the wrestling show, the Binge Sports, as well as the Binge Gamecast. And little announcement right here: you guys get the exclusive. As of this Tuesday, I will start. I'm going to be starting to write a column for Binge Media called Batch's Batch, where I talk comics, movies, gaming, just anything I am passionate about.
Fantastic.
Awesome. And...
yeah, because, we got the Baba Dick Club going. It's going right to run on into the ground.
James, how's about you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Rebellion Reborn. And I'm usually there gawking at, well, the pretty, pretty ladies in the Diva roster. I'm co-lead writer for FromDuskTillCon.com. You can find me there. You can find me at any of the Days of the Dead conventions if you want to meet me in person and have a beer. And on top of that, well, you can find me just basically being phenomenal in everything I do.
The title of this episode has to have that word in the title. In the ground.
Without pants on, goddammit.
What do you think makes me phenomenal?
Yep, it's going to be called The Phenomenal Show. No doubt about it. All right. Thanks, guys, for joining, and thanks for whoever's listening out there. Hope you enjoy it. Until next time. We've been watching wrestling. I don't know how to end the show. All right. See you, everybody.
Later.
See you.